I think that the reason the church does not move on up out of the world into God is because they don't know how beautiful He really is. He's so beautiful. The Bible speaks of the beauty of holiness. And holiness is beautiful because God is beautiful. God is doing something brand new in the earth. Some say He never changes, so there's never anything new. And I think they say that because they haven't lived very long. Even Jesus in His day said He brought something brand new. He brought something brand new to the earth. And boy, when they saw Pentecost fall, if they had not been convinced before, I'm sure that they were convinced at that time, something new has come. So then some people say, well, okay, He does do new things, but He's not doing new things now. And I think they say that because they're confused. Do you think so? They're confused. Because God does new things every day. Can you imagine what heaven must have thought when they saw Him creating the universe? Whoa, look at that! A planet! Wonder what that's for. Boy, that's something new. Wow! A universe, lots of planets. Now, that's new. Heaven was excited because everything God was doing was new. And He just keeps doing new things. Because the Bible tells us He builds line upon line. Precept upon precept. Here a little, there a little. And He's building, listen, very carefully. He's building for you. What would we do if God quit building? Well, we would never have all that He intends for us. He's so beautiful. Tonight, my soul is filled with His beauty. His beauty. And I'm enamored. I'm in awe of His beauty. When you've been in the glory, when you've been in the glory, I mean deep in the glory, where you're seeing heavenly things, you're seeing kingdom things, your soul is drenched, drenched with the glory. The Shulamite said that the shepherd was drenched with a heavy night dew. But when your soul is drenched with the glory, can you hear Michael? I'll try to talk louder. When your soul is drenched with the glory, it's very difficult to go about life as usual. Something has to happen to help you. Because when you go about and you see all of the stuff that you see along the freeways, you know, signs advertising the things that the world loves, it's very, very difficult on your soul. I think God sent Jesus before the days of billboards for a reason. Because billboards can be very, very difficult. That was something lighthearted. This is your cue now. Laugh. I'm filled with His beauty tonight. The beauty of the Lord. His beauty is filled with gentleness, goodness, kindness, love, care, light, all things holy. Yes, His beauty is filled with all things holy. Why am I sharing this with you? Because that's how God wants you to be. Filled with the beauty of His holiness. It's one thing to do holy things. And it's another not to do things that are not holy. But it's quite another to be filled with His own holiness. And that should be the lust, the passion of everyone who belongs to Him. Tonight, I'm filled with the beauty of God. When the groom comes, and he comes to fulfill the plan, the vision of God, his neck will be outstretched, his eyes searching to and fro, looking for the bride who is filled with his beauty. She will not be filled with the world. She will not be running after the things of the world, the entertainments of the world, the pleasures of the world, the mindsets, the philosophies of the world. She will not be filled with these things because they will be foreign to her. They will be foreign to her because she will be filled with the beauty of her King. She looking for him, him looking for her, desiring to meet in the center of the most holy temple of God. Can you all hear me? I'm in awe of the beauty of this great temple that he is preparing for himself. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Psalm 132. Lord, earnestly remember to David's credit all of his humiliations and hardships and endurance, how he swore to the Lord and vowed to the Mighty One of Jacob, "Surely I will not enter my dwelling house or get into my bed. I will not permit my eyes to sleep, my eyelids to slumber until I have found a place for the Lord, a habitation for the Mighty One of Jacob. Let us go into his tabernacle, verse 7. Let us worship at his footstool. Arise, O Lord, to your resting place, you and the ark of your strength. The picture is of the glorious temple. The priests go in. They're there to minister unto the Lord. Only the high priest goes in once a year into the Holy of Holies. Now, David has not yet built the grand temple. Solomon will build that temple. But there's a vision of it in David's heart. He knows a temple must come. He knows one must be erected. He knows prophetically that God must come to a temple. He is done with the days of his wilderness wandering. He must come to a temple. And David saw it. He foresaw it. But I think more than seeing the temple that his son built, he was looking at today's temple. He saw all the way into the future when God would make for himself a most glorious temple that he might come and abide. Now I want you to think about the suddenlies of God. I'm talking to you these days to help you understand the prophetic revolution that we are in. I want you to think for a moment about the suddenlies of God. Sometimes when God does things so suddenly, people think, well, God just came up with a great idea. For instance, when the Reformation took place through Martin Luther, people might think that because Martin Luther got so bold and so hungry and so passionate for really knowing God, that God thought to himself, well, I think I'd like to satisfy that young man's desire. And you know, he might be able to perpetrate a good idea in the earth. I'll try to work with him and see if it'll work. But that's not the way it happened. For generations, God was preparing the seedbed of the earth to bring forth a man that he would call Martin Luther. And he would begin to stir in this young priest's heart a hunger to know the living God, much like Paul. And all the time that he is waiting for Luther to be born and for Luther to grow and enter into the priesthood and develop this hunger, God is showering down grace all over the place, raining down grace, working in hearts, preparing the soil, preparing the seedbed of the human heart, all over Europe, because he knows the fire he's going to ignite through this man. And it's going to be so great, so grand, it's going to shake the earth on its hinges. God knows that. So there's no such thing as a suddenly. God's been preparing for it for generations. But it happens suddenly. Take Paul. Jesus has come. He's died on the cross. He was resurrected. Pentecost was poured out. The disciples are all moving in great authority, great power, great glory, because there is a temple being built in the earth, one that God has been preparing for some time. Pentecost falls. The glory is pouring out everywhere in Israel. And it seems like a sudden decision for God to intercept Paul. Paul is headed for mischief, and he's delighted to do it. Because these Christians are profaning the temple. Suddenly, the Lord picks the moment when he's on the road to where? Damascus. To reveal himself. Suddenly. Yet it really wasn't suddenly at all. He thought about Paul when Paul's mom and dad got married and when the grandparents got married. He knew what he was going to do with this man, Paul, at the strategic moment in time when the church had to go outside of the walls of Israel and into the foreign lands of the Gentiles. He stirred up a passion among many Jews to follow in his shoes. It feels like a suddenly, but it's really not. I could go through probably a couple of hours just talking about even more recent suddenlies, where it seems like God awoke, stirred himself to provoke something suddenly. When in reality, he had been preparing the ground for generations for his suddenly. Line upon line, precept upon precept. Here a little, there a little. That's how he works. To bring forth his suddenlies. Here we have God preparing the whole earth for what he's about to do. Darkness is strengthening. Darkness is like a racehorse, been in the stall too long, wants to come out real bad, wants to jet ahead of the other horses to ensure that he's going to win the race. Am I right? Feels like darkness can't sit still. It's just jumping all around. You know how it looks when you put a male horse in the same field of the stallion who is the kingpin. And they have to have these little wars to establish who's going to be king once this new guy comes. And that's what darkness is doing right now, rearing up on its hind legs. Just can't stand still, can't sit still. It's restless, restless to move ahead. It's looking for every opportunity to gain a stronghold, to gain greater strength. Am I right? Yeah. You can see it, you can feel it. Am I right? Yeah. You're perceptive, you're very perceptive, you know. And it looks like it's taking us by surprise. But those who are listening to the Spirit of the Lord are not surprised at all. They've known for a long time this was coming. And they're not standing there saying, this will pass. They know how serious it is. But you know, it's like living in the Midwest. That's where I grew up, was the Midwest. And I can remember standing at our front door. I was a little kid, I don't know, maybe 10 years old, standing at our front door, and I look up into the sky, and the thing that made me go to the door was because the very atmosphere, it was not like in the skies, the very atmosphere everywhere had turned to the strangest green I'd ever seen in my life. My, you know, long life. And because of it, I went running to the front door to see what was happening. I opened it and I stood there, looking all over, trying to figure out why the very atmosphere was green. I'd never seen anything like that before. When my eyes fell upon the reason, and it was a twister or tornado in the skies, and it was forming the funnel, the vortex. And I saw it come down, lift back up, come down, lift back up, come down, lift back up, and then move on. I stood there watching in awe. Our subdivision was in the path of danger. But I was too young to know and understand that. But because I knew our area fairly well, I knew where one of those hits were. I knew it was in a friend's subdivision. But I was still too naive to understand our subdivision was in potential danger. And that's how much of the church is looking at the storm that is brewing. They're watching it, and it's forming its vortex of evil. But the church is watching and not doing a lot to prepare for it. It doesn't seem to realize that when the vortex is forming and it's starting to hit, that is the time to get under the shelter and not stand in the door and watch it. Get under the shelter of the wing of the Almighty. And this is the hour we're in. The Holy Spirit is trying to warn us. Come into God. Come into God deep. Spend lots of time in prayer. Every available moment in prayer. Or the Word. Choose to believe. Choose to trust. Don't complain about the hardships. Don't worry about the hardships. Just don't worry about them. Just walk through them. And trust that God loves us. Trust that He's got a reason for allowing the hardships. Don't murmur and groan and complain, but praise. Even rejoice over the hardships. Doesn't that sound like fun? I don't see you guys jumping up and down and saying, yes, yes, yes. Listen to me. Tough times are here to make us strong for tougher times. Isn't that exciting?
Yes.
He's tempering the steel.
Yes.
Why does he have to temper the steel? Because Daniel the prophet said, steel subdues all things, or iron subdues all things. He cannot have a church that subdues if it's not tempered. When we put our foot, our heel on the head of the enemy, there's got to be strength there.
Amen.
To crush.
Woo,
so he's preparing us.
Yes.
Say, he's preparing us.
Yes.
He's preparing us for the beauty of the King. Anna sat in the temple for so long, so many decades, praying day and night, just rocking back and forth, praying for the coming Messiah. This is so exciting. Think about this. This is the way God honors us. This is the way he shows the whole world how pleased he is. Decades, she sits in that temple all by herself, praying, rocking, and praying over the coming Messiah. Praying that God will send the deliverer, the Messiah, to Israel. Decade after decade, she's so faithful, day and night, living in the temple, praying. One would think she was the only one who prayed in all of Israel. Because when the Messiah came, what happened? He was brought and put right in our arms. This is what you've been praying for, precious lady. And heaven is honoring you today. She was in the temple praying and preparing to meet her King. When she was ready, and Israel was ready, and heaven was ready, he sent the King.
Amen.
And Anna held him in her arms.
Amen.
And that's what it's going to be like today. Those who are steadfast and faithful in their praying. No one knows. No one cares. In fact, they may even get a little offended because you spend too much time in prayer. Just sitting there rocking. Praying, God, send the gift. Send the gift. Send the awakening of the kingdom. Send Jesus to his church. And when he comes, like he's going to come, who will he come to? Those that have been sitting there praying. Anna was separated from the world. And she didn't care. She was praying for her Messiah. She was going to meet the coming King. Doesn't that sound exciting? She was separated from the world, hidden in the temple, deep in the temple where women were allowed to go. Praying, waiting. And today, there are those who are praying, waiting, believing, praying, waiting, believing, praying, waiting, believing. Darkness is getting darker, and it was in the day of Rome. Darkness was getting darker. Didn't seem like things could get any worse. But Hannah kept praying. Hannah kept praying. Listen to this. Aren't you excited? Then he came. He came. And he's coming again. Darkness is getting darker, but God has a plan. It's going to burst out on the scene suddenly. But the plan is age old. He's been preparing for it for a long time. Just as David did all the preparation for Solomon, so Solomon could build the temple, God the Father has been doing all of this preparation so the spirit of Solomon could build the temple. And the temple is being built hidden in the secret place in the realm of the spirit. God is building a temple, and he's building a temple through which he is going to reveal the most profound light he has ever sent into the earth before. And if you want to comprehend the light when it comes, you've got to be ready. If you're filled with doubt and confusion about what he's doing in the church today, not wanting to move on with the new stuff that's happening, you're going to be blown over when the light comes. You're not going to be ready. You've got to open your heart. You've got to open your mind. You've got to invite him to change you, to break down that crusty. Ooh, doesn't that sound like an awful word when it's not concerning pie? You've got to plead with him. Break down the crusty heart. I'm tired of always having to have my way. Always having to do it my way. I'm tired of not being flexible. I'm tired of not being workable. I know you're not really there yet, are you? Not quite. But you're close, right? Well, let's pretend like you are there. I'm so tired of the old way, of the old me, the me that just doesn't want to change. The me that no matter how much you provoke me, Lord, and how much people in my world provoke me to change, I just won't change. I don't want to change. I'm tired of that part of me. Chip away the crust. Get rid of it. Help me let go of this stubborn spirit. Lord, chip away all the crust you need to chip away so that you can fill that place with light. I want the truth, because the truth is what sets us free. I want to be changed into your image. I'm beholding the beauty of his glory, and it is a beauty that far exceeds any beauty you've ever seen on the earth. This beauty, this glory, this Shekinah, if you will, is what is going to descend into the temple. So holy, so glorious. The priest will not be able to stand. The terror of the Lord will grip the heart of every man. The awe of his beauty. And we will fall to the ground. Every part trembling in his presence. As we behold the beauty of the King. And when he comes in this way, he will make all things new in his church. The spirit of David has worked very hard to prepare for for the spirit of Solomon. But not as hard as he's going to work. The spirit of David is coming on the scene. And he's going to whip the church into place very quickly. Great grace will be poured through into the church through the Spirit of David. Great grace to change. Great grace to grow. Great grace to prepare for your part in the temple. Many things are going to be broken down in the soul that has kept you from being able to move on in God. Great grace is coming through the Spirit of David to prepare for this most excellent temple. Then will come the Spirit of Solomon, and a great and quick work will be done, so that all those who have allowed the Spirit of the Lord to deal in their life will become beacons of glory. Beacons of glory. All things becoming new. There's a very heavy cloud over the mind of the church. And this heavy cloud keeps us inundated with a love for earthly things and earthly ways. The mind is dull regarding spiritual things. We want to break through. We want to get through so that we can see the light and understand what God is saying. We want to break through. But this cloud is keeping our minds dull and chasing after the things of the world and the ways of the world. But God is going to send His Spirit to break through this cloud, break it off the mind of the church, so that the mind can become filled with light. Break it off the heart of the church, so that the heart can become filled with light. Break it off the soul of the church, so that the soul can become filled with light. It's coming. And it must come soon, because darkness is growing fast. All you have to do is look at the political arena to know how soon is it's coming. Back in 1933, a Jordanian prophetess was visited by the Lord. She didn't even know she was a prophetess. Isn't that cute? She was visited by the Lord. And the Lord told her that in 70 years, a great nation would invade Iraq. And listen to this. And it would bring about the return of Christ. This strike on Iraq was like a sundial set to reveal the change in the season. Everything that happens from that point on is going to happen to prepare the church and the world for the return of our Lord. He's coming soon. And He's going to come to a bride that has made herself ready. When did the season change? The day we touched Iraq. Very strategic hour we are in. Transition. Can you feel it? Transition. Transition. You can feel the Spirit transitioning the whole world to prepare for the beauty of the King. Lord, make us ready. Help us to be ready. The King is coming. The King is coming. We want to be ready. The King is coming. Times are changing. We're in transition. We want to be ready. Make us ready. Help us. Give us grace. Grace to change. Grace to believe. Grace to trust. Grace to grow. Help us. Help us, Lord. Send the prophetic waves across the church that enlighten the mind, edify the heart, cleanse the soul and the spirit. Send the waves of your Spirit across the church, Lord, to prepare every part for the glory that is coming. Let your Spirit search out the deep. Oh, listen to this. Search out the deep, boundless things of God and do what with them? Give them to us. That is the promise. Cleanse yourself. Shake yourself out of the dust. Shake yourself free of the things of the world, because the Spirit of the Lord is searching the deep, fathomless things of God to prepare to release it to the church. Those things never known, those things never heard, those things never seen, those things never felt, those things never experienced before. The Spirit is searching the deep places of God to find those things to give to the church. These are not light things. These are heavy, weighty things. The weighty things that make the gold in the soul, that transform His people from people that are weak and shifting to people that are strong and stalwart and glorious, with minds that are perceiving the things of the kingdom, not trapped down here under the things of the world. He's changing, He's remaking, He's shifting. You can feel the shaking in your soul if you love God. You can feel it. Because He's preparing you for these weighty things. And you know, you can't sit still. You've got to run after the gold. Because it is too glorious that the Spirit would take from those deep things, not the surface, but the deep things of God, and reveal them to His church. I'm beholding the beauty of the King. He's altogether lovely. He's glorious. And we try to pray again. Father, how we want those deep and profound, bottomless things. How we want them, Lord. We want the deep things in us removed, making way for the glory of the deep things in you. We want to be remade into the image of your dear Son. Oh, the glory, the glory, the glory of the King, the glory of the Latter-day Temple, the glory of the Kingdom. Beacons of light made into the image of the Sun. We don't want to miss it, Lord. We don't want to miss it. How many times you've told me in my life that the reason you did this or that with me, that you had me do one thing or another, was because someone else did not prepare themselves and you had to give their task to me. And how many times that preparation process was so difficult, Lord. I thought, surely I have failed. But in the end, you were able to do the work you wanted to do so that I could be there on time for the mission. But in this day, many will be passed by. Many, because they did not prepare themselves to go on with God. Many will miss it. The reason for which they were created, they will miss it, because they wouldn't let Him purify. They wouldn't let Him do the work. They wouldn't let Him change what needed to be changed. And they missed it. And they're going to miss it. God, help us. Help us. Help us with our attitudes. Help us with our expectations. Help us receive correction. Help us, Lord, see what we need to see and embrace what we need to embrace. Help us. Glorious Lord, help us. Of your heart to be open again tonight.